thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
The rookie rabbi's ridiculous request, and really, when you think about it, it was an absolutely ridiculous request that these guys had been fishing all night. Put your hand up if you're still in employment, please. I thought nobody's going to put their hand up there. Put your hand up if you are retired. Really tired? No, not really tired. Anyone work the night shift? Two or three of you? Not easy going, sure it's not. Not easy going. So this rookie rabbi turns up on the shoreline, kind of wet behind the ears. He's not all that old. He's not like some of the older rabbis who have been preaching for a long time, who have gained respect and renown. This young ex-carpenter strolls onto the shoreline of Galilee. He's a rookie. He's a newbie. He's a newcomer. And he asks these seasoned fishermen to go back out, having toiled all night. Ridiculous, really, when you think about it. And I quite like that video myself. Now, just a wee plug for tonight, actually. Breakfast on the beach with Jesus. It's not often that you have breakfast at night time, but we're in Ballymoney. Can I really encourage you, please, to come out tonight? I would really appreciate that. This is part of a two-part mini-series. I really would love your company tonight, and Rihanna Craig will be singing. Really looking forward to that as well. I don't know if you've ever come across, or if you've ever read about or seen the Jesus boat. The remains of an ancient Galilee boat from around the 1st century AD was found in 1986 by two fishermen. These two guys were amateur archaeologists with an interest in discovering some of the artifacts from Israel's past. And it had long been their hope that they would discover a boat in the Sea of Galilee where they and generations of their family had fished. So when drought had reduced the level of the lake, these two brothers examined this newly exposed beach and stumbled across the remains of the boat buried in the shoreline. They reported this amazing discovery to the authorities, who sent out a team of archaeologists to investigate. And the team realized that the remains of this boat was of tremendous historical importance, not only to Jews, but to Christians alike. And so an archaeological dig followed. Rumor soon spread that the boat was full of gold, and a dig had to be guarded night and day. Excavating the boat from the mud without damaging it quickly enough to extract it before the water rose up again was a difficult process that took 12 days. The ancient wood was extremely fragile and exposed to the atmosphere, and the boat had to be rescued from the place where it was found by wrapping it, first of all in a mantle of fiberglass and then insulating foam, and then it was floated to its new location. It was then submerged in a wax bath for 12 years, which protected the boat before it could be displayed at the Yigal Alon, hopefully I've pronounced that reasonably well, Gwen, Galilee Boat Museum. Boats like this Jesus boat are mentioned about 50 times in the Gospels. Now, although there's absolutely no evidence to link this particular boat with the actual boat that Jesus sailed on, it does connect us with, of course, all of the rich stories within the Gospel. Many miracles that Jesus performed while in and around boats. You see, scholars would tell us that approximately seven of the 12 disciples were fishermen. So it's not surprising that boats play a significant part in the Gospels. It's also reckoned that Jesus carried out about 90% of his ministry in and around the shores of Lake Galilee. So if you'll turn with me, please, to Luke's Gospel and chapter 5, we're going to read the 11 verses that really the storyline of that little video gave us a heads up with. So Luke chapter 5, please, and verse 1. Luke 5 verse 1, so it was as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. It might say Gennesaret. Another term is the lake of Tiberias. Sometimes you read that. In fact, we're going to be reading tonight in John's Gospel and it refers to the lake of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. It's all the same thing. But the fishermen had gone from them, two boats were standing by the lake, and fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Interesting, isn't it? It had to be Simon's boat. It's always Simon. He asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Obviously, the crowds were such that Jesus couldn't actually, he could hardly breathe. He didn't have space enough on the shoreline to actually properly preach to the crowd. So he had to get into the boat, go out a little bit, and then sat down. Thought that was interesting that he sat down. He must have been very much at ease and began to teach the multitude. Verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had gone, when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. And so they signified to their partners in the other boat, that would have been James and John, to come and help them. They came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. It was just another ordinary day. But it looked very different for a set of weary fishermen who had nothing to show for their night shift on the lake. It was just an ordinary crowd, but they were in for an extraordinary object lesson in obedience. It was just an ordinary boat, but it held a great secret. It was one boat that was lying on the shore, one ordinary empty boat, one ordinary empty available boat. But it unlocked an extraordinary miracle and revolutionized the lives of these four ordinary men. One day, Jesus bags four fishermen for his new mission by using a simple, everyday boat. He calls and he catches these two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, and James and John, to become his followers. Three of whom would become his inner circle, three men who would become his closest earthly friends, and that's Peter, James, and John. And because of a profound experience on this ordinary boat at the end of a most disappointing night to try and catch some fish, this ordinary crew of fishermen witnessed an amazing miracle which brought them to a crossroads in their lives, which in turn was to propel them along one of history's most incredible journeys with the world's most incredible man. And so they would become the first ever disciples of Jesus. And we witness three key moments to their transformation. If you're making notes this morning, there are three simple points. Number one, launching out. Number two, letting down. And number three, leaving all. Launching out, letting down, and leaving all. It was most likely only a few hours or perhaps even less, who knows, that bridged these three unique events. Yet they would impact every minute of every day of the rest of their lives. Verse 4, A, launch out into the deep. Verse 4, B, let down your nets. And verse 11, we read that they left everything and followed him. So we can't imagine how tired and frustrated these guys must have been. To have had no sleep, no fish, and no income. And then this rookie rabbi turns up, this wet behind the ears itinerant preacher, the newbie who knew absolutely nothing at all about how, when, and where to fish, tells Peter, the captain of the fishing team, to launch out again and lower his nets. It's ridiculous. We have toiled all night and caught nothing, but at your word, sighs Peter loudly as they rowed out to sea. And so we see that here is the first step. Launch out into the deep. You see, shallow waters are undoubtedly the safest to be in, but there's seldom fish to be found in shallow waters. People seldom drown in shallow waters. Deep waters are much more dangerous, but that's where the adventure begins and a whole new world opens up. Just ask the scuba diver who swims along the coral and along the beauty of the reef to find these exotic fish. Or ask the treasure hunter aiming to find that sunken galley and a wealth of lost gold deep in the water. Or the speedboat owner who relishes the speed and the buzz and the rush of adrenaline on the open waters. Deep water is where the Spirit of God wants to lead us. Deep water is where the Spirit of God wants to lead us. It's where we are invited to go to witness a miracle. It's where we are challenged to go deep. Are we going to risk the deep water? Are we going to risk it all, or are we going to play safe in the shallow waters of the shoreline? A question for you, and it seems that I'm always asking you questions. How deep are you prepared to go in your walk with God? Only you can answer that. And only I can answer that for my life. How deep are you prepared to go in your walk with God? You see, for these guys, it was the deep water was the only place where the miracle would happen. It's interesting to note that Jesus didn't just say to Peter, launch out into the deep. He tagged the words and he said, let your nets down. Let down your nets. You see, there were two parts to his command to Peter. Because don't forget that you can't let your nets down in shallow water. It simply doesn't work. Launch out into the deep water and let your nets down. And what a haul of fish it was. Floods of fresh fish right at their fingertips as they hauled their catch over the side of the boat and the weight began to tear their nets and risk sinking their boat. And of course, they had to call their colleagues, their partners in the fishing business to get into the other boat that was also on the shoreline and to come quickly to share in this amazing catch of fish. Interesting point, and I only thought about this over the past day or two. Do you think that Jesus helped them to haul the fish, to haul the nets? I bet you he did. I guarantee you that while Jesus was in the boat with these guys, that he helped them to get the nets overboard. Quickly shouts Peter to James and John as he grabs his mobile phone and calls his partners, get your boat over here ASAP. We cannot contain this catch of fish. Absolutely amazing, because they had toiled all night to stupid o'clock, round and round in circles, nets in, nets out, bait on, no fish, more bait on, still no fish. They drank coffee, they played Scrabble all night, but unfortunately, they bagged no fish. Not even a sprat for their troubles, not even enough fish to fill a tin of sardines. But this time, it was different. This time was different because Jesus was in control. Jesus had given the command. The master of the sea was calling the shots. You see, the truth is that when Jesus is in the boat with us, it makes all the difference. It makes all the difference when Jesus is in the boat with us. Folks, can I encourage you this morning, whatever walk of life you're coming from, whatever you've carried in, wherever you are in your relationship or your walk with Jesus, maybe that walk hasn't even started yet. But can I encourage you from today onwards to make sure that Jesus is in the boat with you, rather than you toiling all night. Remember that Jesus was there, right there with Peter and the crew when this huge haul of fish was caught. This two-part command that Jesus gave to Peter opened up a situation where he had the right to ask them to become his colleagues. He had earned the right to ask them to follow him. Of course, if you know anything about the history of rabbis at the time of Jesus, it was actually nothing unusual for a rabbi to come along and to actually stop and just ask people to come and follow him. That was a pretty routine thing to happen. So that in itself was not a big thing. It's a big deal to us because our culture is completely different. That wouldn't happen today. But it was so different then because Jesus was calling them on the most amazing mission that has ever been seen. You see, the command led to the catch, if you're making notes. The command led to the catch. The catch led to the call. The call led to the challenge. And the challenge led to the change. I'll repeat that. The command, launch out, led to the catch. The catch led to the call. The call led to the challenge. And the challenge led to the change in the life of the disciples. This was the turning point in their lives. You see, up until then, the boat or their boats, their business, their livelihood had been their security, and rightly so, because we all need to work. We all need that security. But the boat had also been their identity. They were fishermen, probably coming from generations and generations, I imagine, of fishermen. The boat had been their livelihood all of those years, that is, up until now. But the time had come for them to leave their boats behind and to follow Jesus. I'm going to ask you another question, asking for a friend this time. What are we prepared to leave behind to follow Jesus? It might be that we might have to set some things aside to follow Jesus fully. It was only when these guys were prepared to leave stuff behind that their security and their identity would change from being the self-sufficient and self-supportive and yet vulnerable fishermen to becoming men who would become more dependent on Jesus. Men with a brand new identity. These fishers of fish would become fishers of their fellow men. They would become part of a completely different crew from that day onwards. They would become part of that wonderful band of followers of Jesus, the 12 disciples. Such was the impact of the miracle that Jesus performed and the power of that magnetic call of Jesus that all four seasoned fishermen left their catch, left their careers, left their comfort zones to follow the call of Jesus. In fact, it's only the gospel writer Luke of the four gospel writers who tell us that these men left everything and followed Jesus. When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and they followed him. Step three, leave all. Have we, metaphorically speaking, let our nets down and brought them up empty? Have we fished all night, metaphorically speaking, and caught nothing? Are we living in some sort of disappointment or emptiness? Well, we need to leave that behind. We need to launch out. It's time to launch out into the deep. It's time to let our nets down. It's time to leave everything behind and step out of our comfort zone. It's time to change. It's time to follow the Master's leading, not only as a church or as a leadership or as a church family. You know, we're big into the identity of us being a church family, not only for us as a church family here in Ballymoney Eland, but as individuals, as personal fishermen and fisherwomen. If there's such a thing as a fisherwoman, I'm sure there is. But are we ready for it? Are we up for the challenge? Will we be brave enough to follow the example of these ordinary 5'8" guys, these four former fishermen who did extraordinary things from that day onwards because they forsook all to follow Jesus? They left everything behind to follow the master of the waves, the one who would walk on water, the one who would command even the winds to cease and calm the raging storm, as we heard about last week, the one who spoke the words, launch out and let down. And when they did that, the miracles happened. The result was that Peter and Andrew and James and John, the two sets of brothers, left all and followed him for the rest of their lives. The last image I want to bring up this morning, hopefully you can read that. I'll read it anyhow. It's the story of the bee. Robbie, this will be dear to your heart. The bee lives for less than 40 days. It visits at least 1,000 flowers and produces less than a teaspoon full of honey. For you and for me, it's just a teaspoon of honey. But for the bee, it's a lifetime. Thank you, bees. Does anyone like honey? Yeah? Okay. Guess what I brought this morning? Now, I tried to scrounge a new one. You see, that Lindsay Hogg one had a bag the other day. There's about 50 tins of honey in it. And I tried to scrounge one off her yesterday, but she says they're all gone. I contacted Robbie during the week. Robbie, get if you want a lovely, and I mean this, a lovely jar of honey, you need to get on the list. Because I texted Robbie, says, Robbie, could I have a wee jar of honey? He says, Paul, I'm waiting for the spring bees. And he says, you're top of the list. I talked to Debbie this morning. She says, Paul, you're on the list. Now, you know I'm a wee bit partial to my coffee. I had a lovely wee cup of coffee this morning, around 7 o'clock. And I never put sugar, unless I'm out somewhere, never put sugar into my coffee. What do? A wee drop of honey. See, I'm trying to push it for you, Robbie. Trying my best here. Now, if only I had a spoon. Ladies, you've often got the kitchen sink and those handbags of yours. Anyone got a spoon? Look, hold on a wee minute. Look, look. Look what I have. If anyone wants a wee sip afterwards, you're very welcome to borrow my spoon. This is very runny stuff. I'm not joking you. That is absolute perfection. Has anyone here had Robbie's honey? Isn't it good? Sorry, excuse me a moment. I'm trying to get it completely back in the pocket. Are we going to leave some honey behind? Are we going to leave something sweet for others? Something that people will remember us for and give thanks to God for. Are we going to be like the bee and leave behind us a legacy, a testimony, just like that little jar of honey? Are we going to leave a legacy behind, folks? A testimony, because we've left all to follow Jesus. I understand it's not easy to leave all. Believe me, I fully understand I know I've got this shirt on this morning, and thank you for everyone who paid the compliments about how nice this shirt was. But listen, I've worn that T-shirt. I've worn that T-shirt. It's hard to give everything over to Jesus. But believe me, it is phenomenal when we do it. May God grant that every one of us who claim the name of Jesus, who are known as his followers, will launch out, will let our nets down, will leave all to follow the Master so that it will make a difference in the lives of others. And with this, I'm closing because I'm conscious of time. As I close my message this morning, this isn't just a challenge for Christians, although it mostly is, but this is a challenge, and this is a call for those of you who are here this morning who, as yet, you haven't yet trusted in Jesus. I'm sure you remember in the little video, and when we read it, that when the miracle happened, that Peter fell at the feet of Jesus and he confessed something. He says, "Lord, please go away from me." He says, "because I am a sinful man." You see, when we get close to Jesus, we realize that we're sinful. You see, remember that these fishermen, when Jesus first met them, weren't followers of Jesus. Peter confessed that he was a sinful man, and he couldn't look Jesus straight in the eye. I believe he couldn't. But that's how we come to Jesus. Nothing more complicated, other than admitting that we have made mistakes, that we're not perfect, and asking the Savior to forgive us. That's the turning point. That's the turning point. And it's as simple as that. And you see all the other complicated stuff? It'll work itself out. Folks, can we pray, please, just before I hand back over to the worship team? Really been so excited all week about both of these messages, this two-part mini-series. Really, really excited. Because I believe that the story of Jesus calling the disciples, it's relevant to us all. Yeah, it's not relevant in the sense that not all of us will be called to full-time ministry, although I hate that term, to be honest. Because we should all be in ministry full-time, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, wherever we're working.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.